احمر كالسهابه the voice of اهل السنه والجماعه.
Yes, I tell you, Ahmed's got our bonny face a bit mixed up, but alhamdulillah, there's Ahmed Farak. Maybe he was working, he maybe felt he was something special about the night, and he's up now, he's awake. There's our counselor, Ahmed Farak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Better late than never. Ahmed, how are you doing?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alana salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Mark, there was a little bit, sometimes in these phones you have a little bit cuckoos, just get into it, then we have a problem. But alhamdulillah, everything is sorted out now.
No, alhamdulillah, like people will get into depression if Ahmed Farak doesn't come on the segment. Straight talk with Ahmed Farak. Ahmed, talking about straight talk, what's the latest on the kafan dafan side?
Shabar, alhamdulillah, there's no issues with, in terms of the Kafan side. Only the accident last week, Monday, that 90 vehicles and there's five people were deceased there. At the scene, there was Alindar gave us a lot of assistance there. My phone was buzzing for right till about midnight. But everything is sorted out. The ambulance service from Maritzburg and all over Northern Natal assisted. So alhamdulillah, everything there, but none of our Muslim brothers or sisters. But there was a lot of damages to vehicles. A lot of vehicles we had to be written off. They cannot be repaired. But everyone is sound and sorted out at the moment. So there's no issues or anything like that.
No, alhamdulillah, no issues indeed. And, I was just reading an article, and we feel sorry for the non-Muslims. It's so expensive to die. But then they bring in, the will has to be wound and, transfer duties and this and that. But in the House of Islam, we affect it to a little bit, when it comes to transfer and so forth. But generally, when it comes to the burial, we are very blessed indeed, Ahmed.
Shaban, fortunately, alhamdulillah, we have got a very, very good, Islam has got a very good, unique system in terms of burial. It's very, very simple. Three sheets of calico and the burial services throughout the country. If you have got monies, you pay. If you do not have, it is fee sabilillah, and we bury you. That's the important part. But the part that what happens is, after death, that is, when people leave, they winding up the state, that has become a major issue with our community. They just leave it and they 3 years, 4 years, some of them go after 10, 12, 15 years. Then they eventually, there's another debt in the family and they've got monies in the state and they cannot wind. Now you have to start winding up not one state, three, four states before you can even get your money, because that's how bad it becomes. So therefore, I say, to the community, if you have a family has deceased, far as possible, in some cases, the husband has passed away after the iddah period, 4 months and 10 days. Try and get a lawyer. Try and see best, which go to some people who understand how to draw, to assist them in terms of getting the will sorted out, as well as the stake to be winded up, and then get it quick as possible so that, the heirs are not suffering in the process, because it's most cases, there's orphans are involved and therefore it takes a lot of time, and they can't do it. Some of them don't have IDs, they don't have paperwork to get. And, we have got, alhamdulillah, a lot of members in the community, advocates, lawyers, and in some cases, if they cannot afford it too, they are prepared to assist them for a small fees or something like that. In some cases, they haven't got anything. You can even use zakat money to wind up the state and get things sorted out, because in the end, it becomes too expensive, because now you have to wind not one state, two, three, four states, just before you could get down to your state to get your money out of trust from there, because everything is seized. You cannot do anything. The Sudanian issue that, they have got a conflict between their own parties at the moment, and that is causing a big havoc there at the moment. And, civilians are even getting wounded there in that conflict at the moment. And then you've got the journalist, the Indian journalist, this is what is happening in the world at the moment, because of all the media, top media guys have been getting shot in India, all over the world. This is a problem that there's no security for these journalists, and nobody wants to go into the field anymore because of these issues are coming. Now, Ukraine is dumping, you know, the grain and to make money out of the grain, the wheat and everything, because they are the major wheat suppliers to most of the parts of the European countries there. Now, Poland has put a stop to it because, you know, they're dumping it at a price, and it's causing a problem for Poland and all the neighboring countries as well, Shafa.
No, absolutely. As you said, that the dumping started, and you know, the whole thing was a facade, creating problems for everything. But one thing we noticing that year in KZN, there was a big fire here in Dakota. What's the latest about that? Have they contacted you? You know, your favorite, your hometown, your ex-hometown, Swinger Beach, and there was a heavy fire in this part of the world. Any updates, Ahmed?
Shafat, I was contacted yesterday late in the evening. Yesterday, I managed to expedite the fire department to via the deputy mayor's office, so to send the fire department which as possible there. Apparently, what happened was there was a gas cylinder that has blew up and it caused a problem with all the shacks there. So that was the major problem there. And I was also contacted by the NGOs and all that. There's a lot of NGOs. In fact, Alindar was the first to assist there as well. So alhamdulillah, you know, things are under control at the moment. But the fire department is still monitoring if there is any other one. Till they'll have to wait till, you know, the policy whenever there's a fire, they just don't leave the area. They make sure even after they have completely sorted the fire out completely, they have to wait for about a day in case if there's any other small fires around there to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So therefore, they are still on call there at the moment. So that's where it is. And I think most of the NGOs today will start rolling in there for assistance with blankets and some tarps as well as food and everything else. I think, you know, when it comes to things like that, you know, we are the four front runners in most of these issues when it comes to fires and assistance in the community. And alhamdulillah, in fact, Swinger Beach alone, you don't need a lot of other NGOs to come on board, because Swinger Beach has got the power there. They are well geared up there, inshallah, with Hussein Mullah around them. And then from the Itigweni municipality, and with all his help, and you know, he's got a good team around him there, and I think they will be able to sort most of the things out for this today, Shafat.
Yeah, they've been feeding them, I think, every day. The food's been there, the madrasa there also, and so forth. But you have no figures, you know, were there any deaths there, Ahmed?
I haven't got any indication yet, but, you know, I think after 10, there's an emergency meeting. Normally, it takes place whenever there's a fire or anything like that. Then we get an update exactly what they require, how many deaths are there, and if anybody was taken to hospital or whatever it is.
Yeah, then, you know, the people always of the locality will say, where will they be housed? You know, recently we had them at the civic center, and that have been sorted out. And, you know, maybe those big factories at Prospectin and so forth. But it's a very unhealthy situation that hasn't been remedied for a long, long time. And these are disasters that are taking place in informal settlements, Ahmed. But it seems as if, you know, those powers that be are doing nothing about it. I mean, I know you're a man of action, but what are your thoughts?
Shafat, you know, this is the thing. We took it up with the council as well. If you read yesterday's press and the press release last few days, the national government gave us specially for housing, for informal settlement and all. Because they did not use the money, $300 million was returned back to national government. Now, I can't understand. This money was for the province. And you know, we can't have councillors, mayors in the city, we got the premier in the province here, knowing that these things is top priority, housing is top priority, but the money had to give it to national, back to national, because it was unused. Now, this is where we come in very, very strongly. We're telling them, you know what, there is funds there, you're allocating funds for everything else, But yeah, the people are desperate for these housing. Even if you get a 40, you know, I even did a model for them, Shafat, you won't believe it, a 40 square meter house. I went to Roofco, and the late Yaqub was a very, you know, is a very close friend of mine, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. He passed away in Turkey. You won't believe it. He modeled out with his architect, with his people, a 40 square meter house where you can get it in the region for about just under 80,000 rands. And the money was allocated for housing, and I showed them how to do it. It's a freestanding house. It, you know, the metal that they use, it is like more or less like rust. So, you know, you don't pick up rust in a hurry, even if you're in Pingo Beach or wherever you are. They did nothing about it. And, you know, this is where our frustration comes in council. We talk. They just don't want to do anything. In fact, you know what? We are just waiting for 2024 and uproot this ruling party and bring a coalition government and start moving the way forward and assisting the community, assisting the people on the ground. They need our services, and the services are at the moment to the lowest. And in fact, what is going to happen, Shafat? In fact, this is a tip off I'm giving to our community. Start keeping some money in your own home, you know, for your running expense and all that. The time is going to come in the next 6 to 12 months. You won't be able to use your card. You won't be able to go to the ATM, or you won't be doing any bank transaction, because the system is going to be down. It's going to hit between the 6 and 10 load sharing, then we're all going to be in trouble. The whole industry in the country, everything is going to come. And you know what? Then you're going to go into a major recession in the early part of next year, Shafat.
Yeah, Mazda, you're giving us a dire warning, and people, you know, take a note of what Ahmed Parak is saying. And they must not overdo it and put like the money, like how Cyril Ramaphosa put under the mattress on the couches, Ahmed. How much? I mean, I'm just pulling your leg there, but Allah protect us. It's a very serious issue indeed. When we look at the stories, Andre de Reiter is hiding corruption allegations, that says the police minister. And when police minister Becky Ayl, he said that the former Eskom CEO, Andre de Reiter, did not tell the Hawks or the detectives of Eskom about the corruption allegations they made on media. And this wasn't fair. What do you think of Becky Ayl going for Andre de Reiter? And it seems like the minister of police that they got, he's short-circuiting left, right and center, Ahmed.
Shafat, you know, when the man spilled the beans on what is happening in Eskom, that's when the problem started. Because he has revealed everything, how it's been worked out in Eskom, why he stepped down. He says, you know, enough is enough. We can't go any further than this, because you know what? If you're sniping that Eskom out for every cent out of it, where you got like 400 billion debt, and the national government bailed him out for about 300 billion now, you're still short, and you still cannot come out and out of this year, because our best coal is being exported, and then you're putting all the junk into our boiler system. And now, to defuse the whole issue, what the Ramaphosa did, he brought a minister of electricity. What the minister of electricity can do when the mess is so bad, you cannot do anything. Now they're going to neighboring countries, and they're starting to buy a little bit. Like in KZN, we got like 3,000 megawatts that is going to be utilized. Yeah, that is our problem. But going forward, how are you going to solve the problem? Now, when a man has opened up a can of worms and say, you know what, A to Z, you guys are doing wrong. Your in-house security system is within this whole block of things that is happening, and the corruption is taking place here. This is the problem that we need to iron out. And they'll keep changing the focus from the Minister of Electricity. They want to bring somebody else. They want to bring new contractors. You can't do anything. You have to start getting to the bottom of this thing here, where the problem is. Start from there and get the thing sorted out quick as possible, because this is going to bring the whole country down to a standstill, because labor, you're going to lose top labor in this country. People are going to go overseas. because the top artisans are not prepared to stay here any longer. If you see the amount of people emigrating from this country, the investors, okay, the investors are like you know, they are coming in here to invest because now they're getting their dirt prices. That's why they're investing in this country. Not because to the government is saying, no, you know what? With all said and done, we're getting top investors coming here. People look for opportunity. Shafat, if you got money and you see a good investment at a dirt price, what would you do? You buy. You say, okay, you know what? I'm going to buy it and I'm going to wait another 2 years, 3 years, see what happens, and I'll double my investment or triple my investment. This is how they're doing it at the moment, Shafat.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And, you know, you look at Cyril Ramaphosa, he's gloating about what's happening and he's getting investment, and a great point indeed. And also we look at Duduzi Lazuma Sambugla. She thinks that the DA leader, you know, John Steenhuisen, gave Julius Malema political points through his re-election speech. And she said he's calling Malema public number, enemy number one. He's made Malema very popular. Do you agree with Zuma's daughter, Duduzile, Ahmed?
Shaban, you know what they did was, they did a pact when IFP kicked the EFF out in all the rural areas. They don't want to just work with Malema and his party. They have want to do nothing to do with them, and they don't want to work with the ANC government. So when they kicked them out from all the municipalities and they brought in their own people there, they had re-election in the cabinet and all that, and this is where, so he didn't have a home anymore. The only home he had was to go to the ANC government. The ANC government was the only one who could help them, and now they're in bed with the ANC for everything now, even in our own council here in Tigwini municipality. When we vote quickly, there used to be, all the parties used to get the DA, Action SA, IFP, those are the major opposition parties. We used to have the numbers. We could then vote against the bill or anyone, acts or anything. We revert it back to the committee. We vote against it. Now, we got no chance because the number games played in Itigweni municipality and all the municipalities, because the ANC and the EFF got together and everything, they vote us out. That's where the problem is, Shafat.
Now, Ahmed, is it true that 70% of the South Africa's taxpayers' money goes into wages of governments and government officials and civil servants and councillors and so forth? How true is that, Ahmed? 70% is a lot of money, because I believe you also have 9 provinces. So you can imagine how much of money is going left, right and center, and very little into the infrastructure or the rebuilding of a nation that is already put into bigger and bigger debts by a man called CR. Ahmed?
Shabbat, the figure, that percentage you are talking about, 17, is more or less right, because, you know, the government expenditure is massive, massive, massive. And when you want money for infrastructure to get the country back on its feet, with 30% you cannot do anything, because the only thing that is keeping us alive in this country here, Shabbat, is the revenue collection. And they have got a genius there who is on top of the world. He knows how to collect money, because if you are not compliant, he comes for your jugular. And that is the only thing that is keeping us going at the moment, because of the revenue collection. Because, you know, if you see the latest result too, he has over collected by like $300 to $400 million. So, you know, he is on a very, very good wicket. So that's where they are winning the show. But every other government department, you know what, the ministers from the top to the bottom, from our president right through, they don't know what they are doing, Shafak. That is the major problem in this country. You need leaders who can lead and sort this country up. That is the reason why Thabo Mbeki had a meeting with the top 6 to explain them, you know what, you all don't know what you all are doing. Put this thing right before it gets worse, and eventually the time has come. There won't be an ANC government. And in fact, this thing, what's his name, Mandela must be, will be twisting in his grave because what the ANC has done, if he was still alive, it shouldn't have happened like what is happening today. And you get the president, up till today, he don't want to account for Pala Pala. He had the money. Now, I can't understand. He came before parliament too. They put it under the carpet. They're not interested in it. How can you have a president knowingly the Forex Exchange Act and the policy of the country, you cannot have so many thousands of millions of dollars under your mattresses, cash, and you cannot account for it, and you're still a president of the country.
Ahmad, you know, really making a lot of sense. And also, you know, you talk about the president, and like you said, you know, it's, this is what the DA is saying. They say because, you know, the government has failed in the extradition of the Guptas, it is Zuma is still in power from behind the scenes. How you respond, Ahmad?
Shabbat, whatever you say, you know, that, you know, when you go on the ground, you know, fortunately, I work with the people. And you know, the best place to get information, to know what is happening in government, to know what is going on, you work on the ground. When you work on the ground, you get information that you'll be, you say, you know what, you got a spy, do you have a, how do you get the information, what is going to happen next week or the following week or next month, what is going to happen? People on the ground, they give you information what is happening in government, and you won't believe it. When you talk to the people on the ground, and I've been, you know, in the last month I've been in Zululand quite often and everything, they said they were better off, although there was corruption in the presidency of Jacob Zuma, but things were happening, Shafak. Roads were taking, roadworks were taking place. Water and sanitation was in order. Load sharing was not at its peak like what it is today. Things were starting to happen, and the people were employed. Today, there's we gone to into reverse. Load sharing, there's no service. Sanitation and water, there's no go. There's problem in every single department. Previously, we never had this. That's what the people are saying on the ground. So the thing is this, yes, you know, Zuma is like a mafia. He has still got his members in the government, and they are calling the shot. And if his members open the can of the worms like what happened in Eskom, there won't be no government. Tomorrow, they will have to put the creator in government to run this government. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, good input there from Ahmad Parak. And also, I think on his birthday a few days ago, and during his birthday, he referred to Cyril Ramaphosa, and he says, you know, he branded Ramaphosa a low life thief and called on the youth to speak up against the president and his administration. And yeah, the youth of this country, they're the one that, you know, at his birthday, and they were listening to him very intently. So he's popular. Then his son is going to stand for election soon. And he's made that clear. He's been on many media platforms. So it seems as if, you know, the youth will be going for another Zuma. Ahmad, what's your thoughts?
Shafad, his son registered himself in the 2021 election in the Newlands. In fact, I saw the documentation. He was registered there. And he also indicated to the community that he wants to stand as a president of this country with the ANC. He said, I'm not going to undo, I'm not going to sit back and see the ANC fall to get dismantled. So he is thinking seriously into coming into government, but the deal is already done in terms of the top six, or who's the top six. You know, they had the conference recently and everything. That has been stopped. This thing, I think going forward from here, I think he's building himself towards that position. But it's going to be a major, major, major uphill battle because, you know, in government and the ANC, you, if you're not popular, you're not going to get in a hurry. That is the problem that you face. So, but if it happens, you know, we cannot say at this stage in politics anything can happen. Maybe even for this next election too. The sad part was when Zuma spoke about the youth. Now that is a very, very scary part, Shafat, is when you mobilize the youths, you know what happened in the Middle East, the uprising in Egypt and in most of the Egyptian country
Tunisia,
what happened? That is, I just think they will, then you got a major problem. And in fact, our only hope and our love, protect us. Don't let that time come, because you cannot control a hungry man. A hungry man is an angry man, and that is where my fear is. It mustn't happen. Allah must protect us, because there's nothing else than the youth movement. And if they get together, they can make a big havoc in this country, and that's going to be a major problem. What happened in 1976, the youth uprising and all that, it will be nothing compared to what can happen. And I'm making dua that Allah don't show us that day, Shaman.
No, Amin Ahmed, I'm looking at the screen here, and Fazal says, Salam, my brother Ahmed Bhai, I'm Pakistani, live in the country for 20 years now. I see that foreigners must carry passport at all time to getting not arrest. I must tell you, Ahmed Bhai, I'm frightened. I'm like refugee. I don't have passport, but I have passport wife. What can I do, Ahmed Bhai? Please help. We all Muslim. Ramadan now. I don't want to get you in jail. Ahmed, how you respond to this brother here? Sounds like a foreigner sending out the message on the screen here, Ahmed.
Shabbat, firstly, if he's a foreigner, the reason why what is happening at the moment is if you're a foreign national, they pick you up very, very easily, the police and all that. And the police, 9 out of 10, they are corrupt, and they ask you, where are you from? Show me your passport. You show him a passport. If he's got a work permit there, he's got any proper documentation, they let him go. Else, or they just open the vehicle, they say, no. You illegal, go in the van. They take you for a small spin. They say, okay, 1,000 rand. They pay, and he's out. This is what is happening at the moment. But the government is clamping at the moment, because the system that we are putting, you know, there's three systems, major system in Home Affairs. One is debt and birth registration database. Then you got your visa database, and then you got your ID database. And these are the major database in the Home Office, and they're upgrading this year. And in fact, the insurance industry, I think, are going to help them and bail them out again to get the best of the best system that they are using in the world, where they'll be able to pick you up anywhere. So that's the reason you will see most of the IDs and all that they have got. Now you do biometrics and all that. So that is the reason. Now, even if today, say your passport expired, Shafat, and you have to go and renew it, and when your passport is ready within 10 days, when you have to go and pick it up, you get an SMS that your passport is ready, go to Home Affairs. You cannot send, previously you used to send them with a letter, and I said, this is my wife, there's the ID number, everything, and you send them a letter, and you sign it, and then she goes and on your behalf and go and pick up your passport. Now you can't do that. You have to go personally. You have to do the biometrics, like when you apply for your passport, do the biometrics again, and then only they give you your passport, because to make sure that the biometrics that you have come to pick up is matching what biometrics it was there on the database.
I tell you, Ahmed, you're a genius. You answered that brother's second question. He's talking about me have passport wife. So this is what I think the government had caught on, that these people are using passport wives as a pretext too, Ahmed.
100%, Shabbat.
Oh, it's another story there altogether, people. Also, Ahmed, you look at top landlords are ditching Gauteng for Western Cape, where returns are better. And how do we fare? Yeah, in KZN. How the landlords, are they happy here, or are they all running to Cape Town, Ahmed?
Shabbat, anywhere in the coastal areas of the country, the property market, okay, it will get devalued by 5 to 10%. But in the end, when the country comes back on its feet, and we are confident it will come back to its feet, and that's where your property market goes up. People are going away to Gauteng, I mean to Cape Town, and you go to Cape Town, Shepard, and you'll see that if, you know, they say DA run everything, they're on top of the world there, it's clean and everything. But see Cape Town, where is clean and where is filthy like Durban and where it is like Jondolo style. You go and see there, you go to Khayelitsha, go to Blue Downs, go to the Cape Flats and all, go and see how those living conditions are there. So they're only showing the good part. The DA only, that deploy, they only show you the good part, what they can do and what it is. People are saying, so all the people are buying more into the elite area and all that. What about all that? Eventually, they're not sharp in Cape Town. It's going to happen. What happened? Yeah, in KZN, people from the rural area came away into the city. It's going to happen, and it's happening already in Cape Town. You'll see that people will start moving more into the city, and then what's going to happen? Then they will, because they're not sorting, they're showing one side, they're cleaning up, but what is supposed to be done, they're not doing anything about it, and that's where it's going to be dangerous for them.
Sally Ahmed, what a great morning in your company. Always enjoy you on your segment, Straight Talk with Ahmed Tarek. Your parting words this morning?
Shabbat, inshallah, next week, Saturday, we'll be celebrating. Inshallah, you know, I wish all our brothers, sisters, and, you know, the last few days or few odd nights we got, make dua for me, make dua for the country, make dua for everyone internationally, where in Palestine, in Afghanistan, all over the world, Shafat, to make it easy for everyone. And also, in fact, yesterday, you won't believe it, I was invited. I was given an invitation. A madrasa in one of our brothers has set up a madrasa in Afghanistan, and they're having they're going to be about 37 kufars. They are qualified, and there's a few alims that are qualified. He says, Ahmed Mandro Parak, I'm giving you a ticket. Go to Afghanistan and go on my behalf and go there and see how this thing is run and come and give us a full report. So I said, you know what, when is it? It's going to be there on the 28th of this month. It's around the corner. So I'm thinking about it, Chapat. At the same time, it is when you land there, from there is another 9 hours drive to the Ulum there. So his brother has offered me, he said, you are the guy, go there and see what you can do. So I don't know that maybe I might just go for a week or so and see what happens. Make Allah make it easy for everyone, Shabbat.
I mean, I'm a man of action, and you'll be in action there in the land of the Taliban, Afghanistan. Jazakallah khair, Ahmed. Brilliant, as I said, as usual. You have a mashallah, beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.